Hello and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. I'm Ashley Nickel with the Packer and PMG, and today we bring you an interview between our editor-in-chief Tom Karst and Robert Gunther, Senior Vice President of Public Policy for the United Fresh Produce Association. Tom spoke to Robert to get some perspective on the new immigration legislation just introduced by the new Biden administration. Obviously, that has lots of different implications potentially for the fresh produce industry. So without further ado, we'll take you over to Tom and Robert.
This is Tom Karst, editor of the Packer, and I'm here this morning with Robert Gunther of the United Fresh Produce Association. Robert, good to see you on Zoom today.
Good to see you, Tom. It's been a while, but good to see you. Glad we got our matching plaid shirt.
I could just grab my cap and put it on.
You need to put your hat on, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks.
You're too comfortable with this remote working.
It's very comfortable. Not quite the DC suit and tie at this point, right? Well, I'm sure you can use that when you have to. But
yeah, my dry cleaners is not happy with me.
Yeah, I'm sure they're taking a hit from everybody in DC. Well, I want to talk about this immigration issue when we've got a legislation introduced. Was it last week? I guess on the U.S. U.S. Citizenship Act and. Not a lot of ag groups are coming out real vocal about it at this point, but what's your sense about it, Robert? What does this mean, and you know, where do we go from here with this immigration issue?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it was an important, as you know, this was one of the first things that President Biden, once he was confirmed, sworn in, that he put forward was a very broad immigration reform effort with really the focus of that bill being to legalize citizenship for those who were here in this country that are not here, you know, with proper documentation. So, the bill would look at the, approximately 11 million or so folks who are here in this country that would be able to be transitioned into some type of legal status, even potentially citizenship down the road. And it really kickstarts the discussion this spring, and into probably the summer on immigration reform in Congress. That's the most important part about it. The bill introduced last week, probably, and most people on Capitol Hill and some of us downtown would say that, that bill probably won't pass as is, but it'll probably be in smaller chunks through the House and through the Senate. That seems to be the conventional wisdom at the moment. The other part I would say that it kickstarts, I think a series of smaller bills that, not smaller bills, but smaller chunks of the discussion they have in this bill. Uh-huh. I think it kickstarts those bills starting to be introduced and discussed. In particular, as you know, the Farm Worker Modernization Act passed the House in 2019, the last Congress. We believe this will provide the impetus to introduce that bill and potentially move that in the House over to the Senate.
So that would be kind of when that bill passed in 2019, that was considered a nice starting point. Perhaps it never got through, of course, the Senate on the other side. Is something possible to get done for agriculture, at least to be meeting some of the needs of agriculture and relative to immigration?
Yeah, I do believe that. Again, I think immigration is one of the administration's top agenda in immigration reform. Certainly, they have been focused a lot, as I mentioned, on the transition to legal status for those who are currently here, Dreamers, DACA, all of that stuff. But I do think that everybody acknowledges, the political folks acknowledge that to get a bipartisan approach, you're going to need to include agriculture. We have proven that a very strong bipartisan bill like the Farm Worker Modernization Act can pass the House. As you mentioned, first time since 1986, the House has done anything related to immigration reform and agriculture. So it was a very important part. You know, it gives us momentum and the ability to show the current Congress that you know agriculture needs to be included in any type of immigration reform that moves through. Now, whether it moves on its own, which is likely, or does it get packaged with some other things that were in the broader bill that was introduced last week, that's still more of a political strategic decision or discussion going on right now on Capitol Hill. You know, but we're hopeful that bill will be introduced in the next couple of weeks, you know, as it was passed in the House 2 years ago.
Very good. As you look at immigration, what do you see at, you know, in terms of other issues? I know Tom Vilsack will be leading the USDA, and what do you see so far at that agency? And are you happy with what it looks like over there?
Yeah, so a couple things. This week, tomorrow, Tuesday, Secretary Vilsack will be confirmed by the Senate. I'm not sure what time of the day, but it looks like tomorrow is going to be the day that his nomination comes up on the Senate floor, and we expect it to go through very easily. I think that then sets forth a process of additional nominations to start in the Senate. So the USDA Deputy Secretary will be probably go next. There are several undersecretaries that have been announced. But by and large, I think we are hopeful and continue to be looking at how he fills his team, making sure that they have strong specialty crop, fruit and vegetable focus, at least some expertise in that area and background. We know there's several, you know, a number of folks who are still in the pipeline that haven't been announced that seem to have that, you know, those kind of qualifications that we would like and we would support. And so we look forward to him filling out his team, making sure that specialty crops and fruits and vegetables are well represented in his team and his staff, and some of the appointments that should be upcoming. In terms of other things that are going on, well, I would say then, you know, the other part about Secretary Vilsack, then I think it then creates, once he's confirmed tomorrow, it then potentially creates then more decisions that could be made on a host of issues at USDA. I think they've been kind of waiting until this happens. Two things in particular, I would say, is, you know, how the COVID funding is allocated, farm to families, the coronavirus food assistance program, the direct payments to growers. You know, how are those programs going to be managed from a Vilsack-led USDA in the future? So that'll be an important decision point coming up in the next couple of months, you know, weeks even, once he's on board and can make some of those decisions. They're already working on some options for him in these areas, but there's a significant amount of funding currently sitting at USDA that has not been allocated yet for COVID relief. And on top of that, you know, kind of to add to that, we've got the American Recovery Act, the stimulus bill moving through Congress, that, you know, includes another $23 billion in food and agriculture, nutrition agriculture programs that USDA will be utilizing. In that $23 billion or so, about $4 billion is focused on food purchases, including fresh fruits and vegetables, and includes supply chain resiliency. Kind of how that looks, what that would look like. It's pretty broad. You know, how does that fit in USDA's, you know, kind of programs, or do they got to prop up a new program related to loans and grants for things like, you know, for supply chain issues? But also in terms of PPE equipment as well is mentioned in that in that chunk of $4 billion to be used, or $3.7 billion, excuse me. But that, you know, is something that's coming online and maybe at USDA as early as mid to late March. And that'll be another significant amount of funding COVID-related that this administration will have to this new administration will have to start looking at it, how they're going to administer that money to, out to the ag community, ag and rural communities.
Do you think they will have a little bit different approach than under Senator Perdue?
Yeah, I do. I think in most of the programs they will. They've already, as you know, they passed the $900 million, excuse me, $1 billion in funding in December. While some of that money was sent out through Farms to Family, they still have not done anything with the funding related to the direct payments to farmers. So that that program has been quote unquote suspended. So I think they're looking at that, seeing how that can be administered. I expect the same thing with Farm to Family. They're going to want to really dive into that. There's so much talk about it over the last year, discussions about the previous administration, how they administered it, things they did with that money, or did with that program. I highly would expect that this new administration is going to really dig deep into that program and figure out what they like and what they don't like, quite frankly, and how to continue that program. But it is still, it's still needed. If you talk to the nonprofits and food banks and others who are participating in this program, there is still a huge need out there. And I think any suspension of the program, any delay in the program would be a huge mistake, not just not for, for our benefit, but for those who need it, because the need is still greatly out there in the communities that, that really need this food delivered to them.
Yeah, that's true, and you would hope that it would still make a positive impact on the distributors and those people involved with the operation. And all
I mean, as you know, I mean, the country's now nearly close to being back to normal, and, and obviously, you know, the food service industry is still struggling. Restaurants are, you know, 25% capacity. You know, depends on where you're at, where you're from, and where you're, you know, located. It's across the board. They're still struggling. You know, so this has been a, you know, a very important tool for those companies to continue to employ people, continue to move product, helping those growers who are growing for that side of the of the distribution supply chain in the food service side. You know, it has helped. It's been one of the more resilient, so to speak, and more holistic look at how you can help the fresh food supply chain from growers all the way to those at the end point, which are those families who do need this fresh and healthy, fresh produce.
That's right. Well, and you guys are doing some real nice things online. You know, you're meeting with members of Congress, and how has that been? And I bet that's been kind of nice to do that.
It's been great. I think, you know, one of the things that we traditionally do in a normal situation, especially in a new Congress, you know, every 2 years, but more importantly, every 4 years when there's also a change in administration, is we really spend a lot of time with these new members of Congress in their offices, you know, as a staff. So, you know, this has been a blessing at some level that we've now been able to bring in constituents from people from the industry to do these kind of these meet and greets online and virtually with these new members. And so while there are a number of constituents in these meetings that we've had thus far, there's also folks in the industry that that have been able to, you know, visit with these new members and kind of talk to them about what their ideas are, what they're thinking, how's it like to be, you know, in Congress now. So I think it's been a great back and forth between, both the members of Congress and the senators, but also our membership who are participating. We've had about, you know, over 125 individuals participate in these meetings from 25 different states. We've thus far had 16 meet and greet visits with members of Congress, new members, freshman members. And we've got at least another 6 scheduled this week coming up, but we continue to kind of move forward. Our goal is to try to get as many of these done in the first quarter as we can in terms of having these meet and greets. But it's been kind of a, you know, instead of a DC-based conversation, we've been able to bring in our members, which has been a great benefit, I think, for both sides.
Yeah, that's a good point, and there are some upsides to meeting virtually. How have you found that within United and, you know, your staff and your boards? What have been the good things, and maybe what have been the hard things to kind of negotiate as you as you, you know, bring people together, yeah. but it's not like you're on the same, you know, in the same room or in the same table. What's it like for you guys right now?
Yeah, I mean, sure, it you know, D.C. is a relationship type town, and building those relationships is very important, especially, you know, with new people who come into town. It's not just the new members, but you've got new staff. You've got to, you know, every 2 years or so in Congress, at least, you've got a influx of new people who are coming into new jobs and new opportunities. And, you know, some have been at other offices, but, you know, being able to have that face to face is important. And I think that's what we're missing a lot of right now versus doing things like we're doing here and other meetings we've had, either on Zoom or you know, conference calls with staff and offices. So I think, you know, we're making the best of it. We're trying to take advantage of opportunities when people invite us to weigh in. I think we've had, you know, one of the things we did when the Congress swore in was we sent a pretty good, you know, robust policy infographic that showed kind of our top four issues and what we're looking at. We had a great response. We sent that both to new members of Congress, but also the ones that were reelected. Uh-huh. So we got really great response back from those staffs and are doing continued follow-up internal with those offices that mm-hmm. we've reached out to during that early part. So having that ability to really interact early in the process and getting your foot in the door, so to speak, and getting that, you know, kind of name recognition, at least mm-hmm. from United Fresh, is mm-hmm. critical. So having that kind of relationship and then doubling that back up with having these meet and greets has been a great, you know, early stage of this Congress, you know, in terms of making that connection with both the association but also our members who mm-hmm. are, a lot of them are constituents of these new members of Congress.
And I suppose in a similar way, face-to-face is important for your board members and all that, but how is it as they, you know, as you cycle into new leadership, it's a little bit different not having them come to D.C. and see it maybe right away, but it's still, I'm sure they're still excited. Anybody involved with the volunteer leadership has got to be excited about serving, and are you finding that that's still high engagement when you bring people into serving?
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so, Tom. I think, you know, we've had a series of board and council meetings over the last, you know, few weeks, that couple of months, kind of to start the 2021, and we've really had a lot of good engagement in those types of meetings. I participated in a few of them, kind of doing some presentations on what's happening here in D.C. Uh-huh. But I think that, it's been very, the members are very interested. They're very engaged. You know, what's happening, you know, giving us a sense of what's happening in their operations in business, uh-huh. in the produce industry. So we then can kind of relay that too, because we're getting asked a lot of questions, you know, the new administration, what's happening, what's your needs, what are mm-hmm. the big issues out mm-hmm. there? You know, a lot of them, you know, we're getting a lot of, you know, kind of discussions going on there, and being able to share that personal, you know, kind of personal anecdotes or personal stories
is
critical to the success of our efforts.
Well, very good. Well, it's good to catch up, and fun to see you on Zoom, and we'll look forward to catching up down the road, and hopefully I guess in June and beyond, right?
With that's right. I'm we're planning to have everybody back here in D.C. in September for the Washington conference, and knock on wood that things will be back a little bit normal. And our goal is to obviously in June too, we're looking forward to being out in Los Angeles and seeing actually face to face with people.
Sure, for sure. Well, great. Well, hey, thank you. Thank you so much, Robert.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, good seeing you.
All right. Thanks.
So that was Tom's conversation with Robert Gunther of United Fresh. You can read more about different policies and how they affect the fresh produce industry on thepacker.com. Tom is the best in the industry at that coverage, so you'll definitely want to keep an eye out for more stories along these lines from him. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Tip of the Iceberg podcast.